You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
I'm Allison Kane, and welcome to In the Sauce, a podcast about building consumer brands from the ground up. I love doing this show because I get to interview everyone from production gurus to marketing and social media mavens, anyone who can guide me on this crazy journey. This is the story of building Haven's Kitchen sauces, but it's also the story of every growing brand because we're all in the sauce.
Today, Courtney and I are speaking with Chris Tiffin, aka Tiffin, peace sign, the founder and CEO of Aisle. For those of you who haven't heard about Aisle, it's a groovy cashback rewards platform that works entirely through text. I want to get right into the conversation and wanted Courtney to be here for it so that we can really dig deep and get into brass tacks. So we're going to get right into it and welcome Tiffin.
Nice. Thank you so much for having me. Happy Monday, everybody. At the time of the recording, it's Monday.
Exactly. Exactly.
Welcome, Tiffin.
Welcome.
Tea money.
All caps.
All caps, all the time.
All caps, all the time. Okay, so we have a lot to discuss because, as you know, there are lots of founders and marketing people who are running and operating emerging brands, whether they've been in retail or they've been pretty much digitally native and they're trying to figure out retail. You are building a better coupon and building a bridge between sort of the digital world and the in-store shopping experience. So we need to break that down, help people understand what it is that the problem is, what your solution is. And I really wanted Courtney here because since she is doing the marketing for Haven's Kitchen, she had the questions and she kind of wrestled around with you a bit in a way. So backing up, you started your career at Super Coffee. There's this whole folklore around you where you slept on the founder's couch and you started as an intern and then you grew the company to a gazillion dollars. What did you pick up there? Like, why that to this? Like, what was the learning there? And why Aisle?
Yeah. Great question. So it all started, right? Yeah. As you saved me the spiel. So I appreciate you, right? Growing up on the brother's couch, all that whole thing. But the big learning, right, is even when you were scaling up DTC super quickly, right, from pretty quickly in a year, it was still a super small chunk of the business, right? Maybe 8 to 10% of the total business, which was crazy because I was over here, you know, sitting on my keyboard, clanking on my keys in the retail sales meetings, and they'd be like, nice, we just got a PO from Kroger or from Walmart or XYZ. And it was millions of dollars, right? Like, it was legitimately millions of dollars coming in the door. You know, over here, just clanking my keyboard, I was like, wait a minute, we have no idea who that in-store shopper is, right? Down to the level of DTC, right? We know first name, last name, email, when are they going to purchase, all of that. We had no idea who that in-store shopper was. What else were they buying, right? Super important for placement on shelf, all of that. But lastly, like, how to re-engage with them, right? Like, I think that's kind of the tipping point when I was like, holy smokes, this is much bigger than I actually ever anticipated. Yeah, I'd say that's the learning is DTC is great. It's a nice add-on, but retail drives the business.
Right. And I think a lot of people, you know, we people who listen to this have heard me say it. We didn't have the luxury of making the mistake to think that we could be a DTC business. Like, we just were pretty much like, nope, smacked in the face with that idea. Like, it's just too expensive when you're a refrigerated brand. And realistically, you know, I like to sort of talk about, even if, you know, e-com grocery scale, you know, scales to 22-23% of total grocery sales, that includes Instacart, Walmart.com, Amazon. Like, that's not direct to consumer. And so even for those companies, I think, and I don't know, I mean, do you have any idea, before we get into Aisle for a second, when did that reality hit everyone? Because for a minute there, everyone's like, oh, it's the future of grocery. The retail store is dead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly, it's like the news cycle, right? It's like the minute something becomes popular, 2 days later, it's like, actually, no, we're going back to this, right? And I'm going to avoid that conversation entirely by saying, I think there was this moment in time where everyone was locked down. Is this the new normal? Okay, now I'm now only going to order from Instacart because I don't want to have to go outside and get sick because who knows, right? And just as quickly as we snapped into that reality, I think we quickly snapped back, right? Where it's like, oh my God, iOS 14.7.2b has now made DTC marketing incredibly challenging, as if it already wasn't to begin with.
Right.
Right. So it's like the camel that broke the straw's back, or vice versa. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where as soon as we went there, it's like, wait, I love going to the grocery store. I want to see other people. I hate my apartment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it's experiential and da 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 da. Right. But even, I mean, to your like stuff I was reading is like, you're not even saying that retail's a replacement in a lot of ways. You're saying you can use these coupons to actually connect the two, because a lot of brands are going to be omnichannel, especially if they're lightweight and they have a long shelf life and they can ship however. So Court, the problem is, who are these people buying our sauces at these stores? Because we don't get any insight about them. Why are they buying us? And if we don't own that customer directly, we don't really have any way of asking them, although we've found other ways with social nature, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's why we've always been so hardcore about email. And I think one piece I really do also want to get to, Tiffin, with you is like, what do we need to do to get them to repeat? Because with direct, there's all sorts of ways to not only incentivize, but track repeat. But that massive distribution, I mean, the massive sort of difference between the digital first companies and the wholesale focused brands are this lack of information about our consumer, and also probably attributing marketing spend to figuring out how to get them and how to get them to repeat. Is that a fair way to sum it up?
I would say, yeah, you nailed it, right? And just anchoring in on those two things, and I'll turn it over to Court, because Court, I'm going to turn that question over to you because this is a great learning moment for me. So I'm going to turn that over to you.
I almost want to back up a second.
As you often do.
I do. I do that a lot. But something that I think is really important to hone in on what you said, that I wrote it down. It's like the news cycle, right? And it's something that it reminds me of when I talk about this all the time. For those of you who have heard me on the podcast before with Ali, I talk about my experience when I worked with my father. Something that he has told me my entire adult working life is everything is cyclical. And his business, they suffered through 9/11, Katrina. So there was a lot of things that have impacted the New York City business. And he would always say, even whatever it is, a recession, anything, it is cyclical. And I think one thing that we need to keep in mind as we see the market fluctuate depending on whatever's happening in the world is that, yes, a certain amount of these consumers, right, that got really excited about e-com shopping, they're going to stick to it, but it is cyclical. There's going to be a drop-off of those people who want to go back into the store. And then you have
or
do both. Exactly. Yeah. You know, like Ali, you've heard me, you know, I am now obsessed with Costco, but I don't stop getting, yes, Tiffin, I just got a Costco membership. I sent Ali
really
a picture over the weekend with me and my Costco membership card.
Watching her journey is remarkable. The videos that she makes of herself are joyful.
I am an avid Costco lover now, but my point is that I still buy my meat and my seafood at freshdirect.com or at Whole Foods because I trust these retailers. But if I'm going to stock up, I go there. And that wasn't who I was prior to the pandemic. I think you said it beautifully. It is cyclical. And anytime anybody says like, oh, this particular thing is the future, I'm always hesitant. And I'm always like, yes, but how do we also? But what else? Or it's just making sure that we're always covering our bases. And then now back to Ali, your question was like, who is the consumer?
Yeah.
Why do they buy? I think that is like the never ending question. And I say this all the time, anybody who says like, I know the answers to this, or I know the formula, this is how to make it work, they're selling you something. And because we're always figuring out. And like you said, we use what we have at our disposal. And I think as a startup, we have to be really smart with what we're investing in and who we're partnering with. And I think that was, and maybe I think you'll we'll talk about this later, but that's one of the things that really called out to me when I spoke with Tiffin for the first time over a year ago. I think at this, it was a long time. You were still in beta when you and I talked.
He's been in beta a few times.
I'm permanently in beta.
He's basically, yeah, functionally permanently in beta. But that's great. That's an innovator. Yeah, that's good. So are we, by the way. So are we. Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, I remember when we spoke way back when, that was something that like really caught my attention was, okay, I'm not just couponing, but I can also, and I also find this out, and I'm also learning this about my consumer. And one of the things that I really loved about Tiffin when we had our conversation way back when was that, Tiffin, you knew and you understood where I was coming from as an emerging brand. You knew I had limited resources. You knew what I needed to see, what I wanted to see, and you knew how hard it was for me to get that data. And so I think for me, that was a huge selling point and really drove it home for me.
So before we get to the solution, what did you want to see?
I wanted to see what was in people's carts along with my sauce, with my product. And I wanted it to be a low, like a digital coupon that was low probability of fraud. Because no reputable clearinghouse is going to do a digital coupon. They don't want to deal with it. The company that we work with, they're like, no, I don't even want to talk about it. And they're fantastic at physical coupons, IRCs. And I love them. They're easy to work with. But
isn't necessarily an IRC.
Yeah, they are online, right? But they're also looking for it in store. So I needed both options. And Tiffin offered me, he told me what I wanted and what I needed to hear.
Okay. So Tiffin, we've identified the problem. Wholesale sales, it's very hard for brands to know who the shopper is, why they're buying the sauce. Mm-hmm. Sampling can be hard. Couponing is a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Getting them to rebuy is almost impossible because you don't know which marketing levers work for the in-store shopper. Mm-hmm. And you came up with the solution. So tell us about the solution.
So walking it through really quick, just for the listeners at home. Now, if you will close your eyes, now imagine yourself, you're in the grocery store. And for those watching, I was actually closing my eyes. You're going to do your regular grocery shopping, pick up Haven's Kitchen, conveniently paired with your X amount of Bonza Pasta or whatever you want to do, no ad placement there. You'll do your regular grocery shopping, right? You'll take a picture of your receipt, send it to the Haven's Kitchen phone number, and then you'll get instantly Venmo, right? That is the core product, right? Now, of course, life gets in the way, you get busy. So we have reminders and all these things built in, but taking a step back, guys, right? We talked about the problem is we have no idea who their in-store shopper was or anything like that. And the solution just stems from a place of let's build something that is actually incredibly easy to use, mm-hmm. right? Because, and I have a hard time with using these types of words, but it's to download a cashback app, and there's a multitude of them, right? You have to verify your mother's maiden name and what street you grew up on and all this stuff. But there's nothing simpler than a text message, right? Mm-hmm. Like I pick up my phone 342 times every single day, right? And
did
I don't
you
have any.
That, or is that an
no,
estimation?
I actually looked it up prior so I could have it. Yeah.
So
I'm just dropping facts.
I pick it up 342 times. I do not check a single app during that time. It's all either email or text messaging, right? So yeah, get into the solution. And we talk about how do we re-engage with that shopper. I mean, it's so intuitive, right? Where I convert on a Haven's Kitchen offer, and then it's like 7 days later when I'm about to go to the grocery store, it's, hey, you only tried chimichurri. We actually have a whole bunch of other flavors that you think you might love. Here's a BOGO, right?
Right.
Or hey, if you convert on this new SKU, take a picture of your receipt and we'll send you a free tote bag or whatever.
Right. Got it. So that's, I mean, basically, so for everyone, just so we can, you know, take Tiffin's movie of our grocery store life. Basically, there is no, you take a picture of your receipt, you text it to the number, and you get Venmo'd or PayPal'd, and there'll be other ways to get money back. Yep. It is a rebate program that does not require you to download an app or join a club or be a part of anything. It's direct, it's fast. And from the brand's perspective, we can customize what our messaging looks like and sounds like. So it doesn't feel like it's Aisle as much as it feels like it's Haven's Kitchen. And so the tone of the language, the imagery, the what we're offering, all of that is, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Customizable by the brand.
Yeah, and that's the goal, right? We don't want anyone to know that we exist. And the only time someone knows we exist if something goes wrong, right? Yeah. That is truly the only time. So it's like Lil Wayne, right? Real G's move in silence like lasagna. Right. It's the same thing for what it's worth. Right. We've come on the scene in the last couple of months, which is great. But it's just a testament to our brand programs are successful. Right. Because people be like, oh, Haven's Kitchen just posted about you guys. They love you. And I'm like, they don't love it. It's like they don't love us. Sure. Whatever. Like, it just means it's working. Right. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's take a quick break. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about like how we specifically are using it, because I think it might be a little different from maybe what you originally thought. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
I'm back with Courtney and with Tiffin from Aisle. Okay, so before the break, we were talking about the challenges that wholesale brands have with our consumers, you know, the Aisle solution, which is basically a rebate program through a texting platform that brings, I think, some of those coupons and rebate concepts into the 21st century and to the new consumer who is using digital tools and in-store discovery almost at the same time together, like synergistically, basically. So, Court, for us, right? I think our first test is at shelf. Yeah?
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Yeah. So earlier this year, just to give context, earlier this year, Allie, you had asked me to take on a little bit more of the shopper marketing side of the business. And Tiffin, I'll be totally honest with you, I wasn't super enthusiastic about it. It's not my favorite type of marketing, but it's super important and necessary to the business, and it drives velocity, it drives dollars. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to take it. I'm gonna be the best at it. And we knew, and we've spoken about this before on other episodes, Allie, we knew that content is our superpower. We know that we have so much to offer via videos and recipes, our beautiful website, about our packaging. There's so much education around our product and around home cooking. But we're not a tech company. You know, right. We don't know how to build out these tech stacks to, like, you know, run a digital marketing campaign, and we can't spend all of this money. So I needed to figure out how to meet people at the shelf. And you and I had talked, right, about a year prior. And when we were ready to pull the trigger, you weren't ready. And you were like, Courtney, the second I'm ready, I'm going to email you. And a few months later, I got the email all caps, and you were like, we are ready to go, Courtney. And I was like, yes. And I was looking at how to get a secondary placement. And, you know, for those of us who are who are grocery geeks, we know that secondary placements for a product that is new like ours to the market, that requires a little bit of explanation, that's a refrigerated condiment. I can tell you all of the reasons why. Like, I can go on and on. It's hard. It's hard to get secondary placement.
It's hard to get primary placement.
Yes, exactly. Let alone secondary and tertiary. And I quickly realized that we needed to do this on our own. We needed to figure out how to get secondary placement. And so we, with the help of our field merchandisers and these acrylic shelves that I found on like Webstaurant.com. If you want to sponsor the podcast, please reach out to info@havenskitchen.com. But at Webstaurant.com, and the field marketer, I basically like gave them a task, and I was like, get me these acrylic shelves in as many stores as possible in the meat section, in the seafood section, in the produce section. And on every single one of those acrylic shelves, I had Bridget, our graphic designer, mock up these beautiful stickers with the QR code, how to redeem, a little bit about a lot of our branding everywhere, a little bit of explanation. And her and I literally sat down here one day and we slapped these stickers on acrylic shelves, sent them out, and they have been hitting the shelves out into the real world over the last couple of months. So for a couple of weeks. So for me, like, that was, I knew I could get the secondary placement, but then what? How do we motivate people to purchase a product that they maybe, you know, people who are buying seafood and meat right now, like today, they may not be going down the condiment aisle. They may not be shopping for, you know, a product in our set. So how do we get those people? But also, how do we get people to like make the connection? Like, oh, I'm buying
this would be good on salmon.
Right? Yeah, I'm buying steak, or I'm buying salmon, and oh, this sauce, I can throw this chimichurri on a steak, or I can throw this gingery miso on some salmon, and bingo, bango, bongo, dinner's done.
And so the QR code, just so everyone understands, the QR code takes you to where?
I'm gonna pass it off to Tiffin because he knows where that QR code goes to.
Yes, that QR code, right? And I think in that particular flow, because I know you guys have a few different ones, that QR code goes to a landing page, right? Where then instructs a brand, or instructs the user rather, in which then they put in their phone number, so then that triggers that welcome to Haven's Kitchen in-store redemption program, right? And you guys have that good copy, but for condensing it, it's welcome to Haven's Kitchen in-store redemption program, purchase any of our flavors at any local retailer and we'll Venmo you for it, right? Simple as that
at the shelf. And so, I mean, the goal is obviously that you're basically giving away a sauce. You're giving a full sauce sample. For us, that is a lot less expensive than shipping, right? But you're giving away a sauce, and you're also getting the velocity ping for that giveaway, which I don't think is... That's very hard to do. And you're doing it at the shelf which is exciting, so that it's like a right there on the spot. Oh, I use this gingery miso sauce with this salmon. So Tiffin, for you, what else? I mean, that's how we're using it. You know, we have a very particular type of product in a weird little emerging category. How are you seeing other brands, and you don't need to name the brands, but what are you seeing that's particularly cool? Or are there things that people are doing with this little thing that you didn't necessarily anticipate?
Yeah, tons. But really quick, I want to talk two things about your guys' program. One, it's super cool because you guys will actually, as we get better, right? And you guys are actually, Maddie and Bridget are pulling me along to be like, Tiffin, we need this. Which is cool, super grateful, is we'll actually be able to tell you what retailer that person came from, right? So you'll be able to actually drill into the legitimate specifics of, okay, they scanned at this cool, I like to call it like the Kool-Aid hanger, you know, like that's how I envision it. It's like, wow, I've seen that before with Kool-Aid. Is they scan the QR code, they come into the flow, boom, they converted at this retailer. Right. So now in a future state, whenever you guys are like, Tiffin, we just launched in a brand new retailer that is right next to this one. It's like, okay, now we can have, now you guys have the opportunity to re-engage with that shopper. It's like, hey, thanks so much. By the way, we just launched in Morton Williams, or I'm in the city right now. Right. Like
right.
So a nearby retailer. So boom, I wanted to chat about that.
So and that's really interesting. Okay. So I want to we'll get back to that, but you can retarget.
Oh, you guys. And that's the crazy thing, right? Where we're at right now is I have so much functionality waiting for you guys that it's just a matter of, it's literally a matter of time, right? Yeah. I'm trying to get caught up right now, but we have so much functionality, whether we talk about the zip code stuff, which we'll tease out, tons of different things. But one thing I really wanted to say on your guys' product is, so I learned last week, right? About, and I'm quite the healthy person, whatever, virtue signaling, is that most dressings, and this blew my mind, most dressings and condiments, even the ones that I thought were healthy, have expressed sunflower oils or all these oils, which were, this is not the podcast or the time or place, but you have the extraction process of how these nut seeds and like all these things are processed and then the second ingredient in most condiments.
Is sugar.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like you got neuterized, if we want to call it that, oils, right? Because they And then on the other side, it's like you got neuterized oils and you got sugar or high fructose corn syrup in some crazy instances. So just reach out to you guys because I just recently noticed that and I was like, wow, okay, yep, miso ginger donor straight on my salad every day.
Well, thank you for that. It's funny. I mean, we don't, like, to your point, we don't lead with that. We lead with this makes making a meal easy.
Yep.
That's,
and we
because
get,
that's
and
our
we get
mission.
A little slack for it. We get a little, we do. You know, we get people being like, well, why don't you? But at this, you know, who, I think it's hard, I think, for us to come out and be like, we're the healthiest alternative and we're better than, because who are we to say that we are better than, you know, for you than, you know,
I mean,
whatever you want to buy.
But we choose not to.
We can.
Well, because we have other things that I think we've decided are more important to say. So thank you for that. But now go back to, you know, I mean, before you go into how other brands are using it in cool ways, I want to go back to the problem, the who. Mm-hmm. So what we're learning about the who is what else is in their cart, essentially, right? Where they're shopping.
Now let's peel that metaphorical onion back one more layer,
okay,
which is the actual contact information of that in-store shopper.
Yeah, right? that is major.
that's the golden ticket. Right?
I forgot about that in my notes. I literally have like two pages of notes, but I forgot, like, we actually have this person's digits. Like, that's major. We've never had a wholesale customer's digits.
Right, because it's all based on, and that's the same thing at Super Coffee, right? Like, quick tangent. I tried to hack this because I was so tired of Jimmy saying the whole thing, Tiffin, how do we take all of your ad spend and drive it in store, right? How do we start to triangulate this offline shopper and this online digital user? And it was like the super, that's non-compliantly, it's luckily off all bottles now. So it's like, phew, if I dodged that TCPA nightmare. Mm-hmm. but it was something that said, text my copy to 29071, right? And my whole whiz kid, 23-year-old, having no idea what I was doing, is like, oh, that can be a way to triangulate. If someone converts from that opt-in, we know that they grabbed it in store, right? Long story short, it didn't work because
you're not allowed to do that, right?
Yeah, that's totally no bueno, not good, don't do it. Absolutely not. That was fictitious. For the narrative saying, people don't go from in-store to online. I think seldom, right? Because we've had brands that test driving the Amazon offer as their repeat purchase or driving the Shopify, and it doesn't work,
right?
It doesn't work because people get caught up in the hype of, hey, try 30% off Maple Pumpkin Super Coffee. Boom, they try it. But now they're like, oh, wait, now I'm expected to pay full price where I can get it for $2.99 on my local bodega.
And in our case, we don't want them to, right? There, it is financially a much different value prop for us to have someone buy us in store than online. A, we get the velocity, but B, we just make a better margin.
Make a better margin. And at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, I don't know Haven's Kitchen's thoughts, right? But it's Super Coffee. Or like, let's use Essential Water. Essential Water didn't get acquired by whoever they got acquired for because they have a really cool website.
Right.
Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes was their athlete. It's like, no, they got it because they sold a ton of water. But that was all aside to say, yes, we have the problem of who, right? We have the problem and the solution to what, right? And that's one thing everyone's asking for is tipping. Can we get basket analysis? And let me preface this for all of our customers currently listening and future customers. Don't expect that until Q2 of next year, simply because milk is spelled 20 different ways on 20 different receipts, right? And it's like, I have a vested interest. I have a piece of my heart in every single brand, and I'm not going to tell anyone the wrong news. It's like, we could ship something out, and it would be, from your guys, be like, oh, this is so sick. And then from us, it'd be like, oh, God, is this
And I would imagine, I mean, there's going to be some AI to like figure out how every different store codes every different thing, right? And then in terms of that number, because this is something that I think Maddie is pressuring you about, the number that we're getting, that we're engaging with this person with, is not then easing itself into our SMS flow. It's a separate flow. The goal ultimately would be to create a flow in our SMS, which is like, hey, you did this, we'd love to do XYZ for you, but they become a part of our regular SMS group.
Yep, exactly, right? There's short-term hacky solutions, and hacky meaning that you as the brand operator have to do way more work to get that user over, right? But in a future state, it's all going to be one, right? So whether you're buying in store or online, you still have this flexibility and kind of you don't have to travel between two numbers, because that's the bane of my existence, right? If you're like, Tiffin, what really bothers you about your platform, your program right now?
It's not our number. Yeah,
exactly. Because then people trace it back, then they find it's aisle. Then I'm like, it defeats the whole purpose, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's the biggest thing. But in the interim, I'm trying to ship really cool stuff. So it's like, hey, look, at least if it's not the same number, you know your total basket spend, and you guys are actually a category driver, meaning that people are spending more when they buy Haven Kitchen versus when they don't, right?
Yeah, 100%. And we talk about that. I mean, I think going back to Courtney a few minutes ago, talking about, you know, our discussion about shopper marketing, you know, just very rudimentarily, and I think I say this probably almost every episode, but, you know, I had a conversation with someone a few weeks ago, and they were launching in a major retailer, about 150 stores, you know, not crazy huge, but a real one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, what's the plan? And they're like, we're just going on to the next one. And I was like, so basically you have all these doors that are like cracked open a little bit, but none of them are busted open wide. And the way that you bust open a door wide is with velocity. And the way that you get that velocity is exactly with this like stuff that we're talking about. What people don't seem to get is that it costs a lot to open that door in the first place. And every time you get a repeat sale, you're lowering the cost of acquiring that customer. It's the same whether you're getting a sale online or a sale in store. You are buying the first sale almost all the time, right? I mean, again, there's organic, obviously, but like, assuming that you have spent any money to get into a store, you might as well extract all of the juice out of that lemon you can. And that's why this velocity thing is so important. And I think especially for digitally native brands who are kind of entering the world of retail, it can feel like it's, you know, every LinkedIn post you see is like doors, new doors. It's new doors is not, new doors is like, I'm spending a lot of money. I wish we could be like velocity, but you know, we're all nervous to post it.
It's crazy that, and I totally agree. And the brothers harp on that all day long too. Mm-hmm. But on that, it's,
these are the super coffee brothers.
Oh yes. Sorry. Yes.
For the people out there, the brothers, I wanted to just clarify.
It's so funny, right? Cause we are in the same position, right? We're just, as the emerging brands are getting brand new placement, open new doors. It is, we have that same thing where we are lucky to have a good handful of brand partners. And it's like, with each new product feature that we ship, that means more maintenance for that product feature. And then that means I have to go to Courtney and the team and explain it. And anyone who is listening to this knows I'm a terrible explainer. It takes me an hour long conversation to extract my thought. I resonate with that. Now, talking about velocities, right? And to give benchmark, everyone listening, paper coupon, it's one and done, right? These cashback apps, these rebate programs, it is one and done. You're going to have to continue to tap that well. And we talk about how do we reengage with them, right? Is that's the core problem. And for us and for all of the brands, it's just shoot them a text and say, hey, if you love it, feel free to stock up. And you guys can, and again, based on margin and based on retailer or what products, you can have a totally different offer set. Based on if you're like, all right, Tiffin, we got to pump chimichurri at this brand new retailer that we issue because we have to show it as our number one SKU. Again, totally fictitious. Making up a scenario. But it is, I think shopper marketing has been totally unsexy. And it is the it is the dustiest thing ever. And it's ironic that our team.
We love it.
Yeah, it's like
we love it. We love the unsexiest thing. Tiffin said to me last week, we're one of the most underestimated products and groups of people he's met in this industry, which I think is like the best compliment I've ever heard. But I think shopper marketing is like right in that underestimated role. Like, you know, it's so unsexy that it's sexy.
I think also to chime in on that, everybody knows shopper marketing is my least favorite pillar because of the grittiness.
On you. Yeah.
It does grow on me. There's a grittiness to it that I think brings out a side in me that I have spent a lot of years in therapy trying to like work through, and it just brings out like angry Courtney. In a way that like it challenges me in a lot of ways. Anyway, I think also a lot of people, I talk to dozens of brands, and every time we talk about shopper marketing, they're like, what do you consider shopper marketing?
Right. What do you consider shopper marketing? Right.
And it's like, for us, it's everything, anything that is like a paid partnership with a retailer to, you know, boots on the ground and my field merchandisers having a contest to see who can get the most acrylic shelves or secondary placements, clip strips out in the field. It's like everything in between. Mm-hmm. And not everybody views it that way. Some companies will have field marketing under sales. And, you know, it's just like everybody is different. I think the more time I spend in shopper marketing and I make it our own, the more I enjoy it.
Yeah. And I think we have a product that lends itself to this stuff because we are making other products better. To Tiffin's point, we get to play around with, you know, sweet potatoes and mushrooms and salmon.
Yeah.
So you were talking about velocity before we got all sexified with shopper marketing. Do you remember your thought?
You know, no. Ask anyone. That's a classic. Like, that's why I prefer Slack communication, because I'm there rewriting my message 5 times before I send it. It's like, all right, this makes sense. But I think now getting myself back on thought, right, is you ask about other brands and applications.
Yeah.
And it's cool. So you guys are honestly, the acrylic is a trailblazer, right? It is a trailblazer in terms of the IRL world, right? Like, we have brands using it at the demo table. We have some brands using it as a shelf talker. But I think the coolest application, I mean, has got to be the Kool-Aid pouch. And now on the other side, right, where like the real power of this, like the real magnitude of this thing comes into play, is when brands deploy it with influencers, right? So it's like, hey guys, what's up? Oh, you guys don't even know about Chris Tipper from Supercar. That's a classic. It's like, hey guys, what's up? You know, I'm just trying out my Haven's Kitchen's chimichurri. Click the link down below to get one for free. Right. So now, boom, that influencer becomes instantly, you know, how many signups they had, you know, the quality of the conversion, right? Did they actually convert? Right. It is how many times did they refer a friend? Did they repeat? All of that. And then the other big one, right, is, and we're just talking about on the topic of velocity, is paid social. So a lot of
About paid social, because we have, you know, we feel the opposite feelings to paid social as we do to shopper marketing.
Yes.
You know,
and
what I mean?
It's an interesting, because I'm by no means a therapist, but think about that, right? Because shopper marketing, there's no instant gratification. It takes 6 to 9 weeks. It's not even like
people
really
probably why I hate it.
Yeah,
you can't feel it, right? It's like you can't go into a dashboard of shoppermarketing.com and be like, oh, sick, we moved 62 units yesterday. It's like, oh, I hope this is working.
Yeah. Whereas literally, Allie today, she was like, so about those acrylic shells, I was like, Allie, give me 6 weeks. Like, I can't even.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, right? And that is so messed up, because it's like, I'm a Gen Z millennial, right? It's like the J.G. Wentworth, it's my money and I want it now. That's why paid social, I was like, paid social you see happen right away, right? Mm-hmm. It's instant gratifying.
So when they go to D2C, not when they go, right? When you're talking about direct. Yeah.
Until now, right? Until now, where some brands will run a top of the funnel, totally cold traffic that says, text us for a free unit, a free can, a free anything, right? A user enters their phone number, and now they get a text message that says, welcome to Tiffin's Tomatoes in-store redemption program. That user then goes through the process, right? They get, because maybe they forget, and then they get a reminder 2 days later. It's like, hey, don't forget to take a picture of Tiffin's Tomatoes. Here it is on shelf, right?
So that.
Yeah. Oh, and Clicks to Bricks. You heard it here. Clicks to Bricks. I'm trademarking eventually.
Do you want me to name the podcast Building Clicks with Bricks? building clicks and bricks. I was going to call it Building a Better Coupon. Do you like that name?
I actually hate the C word.
Okay. We'll talk about what you want me to call it.
I hate the C word because, and going back to this whole, the notion of value, like the biggest value out here is you can re-engage with that shopper. But the coupon, it's like, oh, I'm just getting a coupon. It's like, no. When you sign up for Tiffin's Tomatoes, you're getting access to brand new products and retail. You're getting cash back. You get 10% off forever because you're part of it, right? You get merch. So all of that to say, going back to my quick before that, is brands use paid social because now they can deploy an ad in Southeast Florida. And now they check in their dashboard 5 days later and they move 2,000 units in Publix, Sprouts, and Fresh Market, right? So it's cool because no long gone are the days of store late locator ads or, hey, we just launched in Target. I'm like, hey, you just spent way too much money on something that you'll never get back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, paid social.
Store locator ads.
Yeah, store locator ads.
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, cringe. Those make my skin boil. But yeah, I'd say those are the two major things. And of course, in the email flows. If you don't convert online, hey, try us in store.
Yeah, no. And I mean, what's interesting too is what I didn't realize until, you know, because I said to Maddie last week, you know, there are a bunch of investors or potential investors they don't want me sending them expensive samples. Can I send them my own little special Alley code for when they buy it, they can get cash back? You know, it's kind of cool to show them what they're doing. It's most of them probably won't redeem it because they want to support the business, but you know, some will. So you can make a different code depending on the campaign. So that makes everything totally trackable too. So arguably Courtney could do an email, an influencer, and a paid social, all with different codes. We could target the same store, literally almost, or same region, and then see which one is the most effective.
So let's define effective, because there's a couple things there, right? Is one, it's the true conversion rate, right? Of, okay, if we had 1,000 people click the link from an email, how many converted, all those things, right? Which we have. But now let's get to some serious value add stuff that you guys can put in buyer meetings and retailer decks and all that, is lifetime value, right? So you can see lifetime value by channel. So let's say a shopper who comes in from paid social versus a shopper who's been lurking on your email program, you now see, okay, from these two shoppers, this is their lifetime value. This is the SKU they came in on. So now you're understanding of lifetime value of SKU. Now the listener's like, how do you get that information? Right. So we strongly recommend that all brands, 30 days after their initial offer, it's like, hey, it's Allie from Haven's Kitchen. How many times have you purchased us since getting your one pack free, one pouch free? Right. Yep. And pretty cool. 40% response rate across the board.
Yeah. Right? That's awesome. Pretty cool.
Because it's easy. Right. Again, it goes back to this whole friction. As long as you make it easier for the user, they will give you everything you need. Right. Yep.
And I think that goes back, Courtney, you know, for years, you know, I was listening to a podcast with a guest who's coming on in a few weeks, who's going to be a big, exciting surprise for listeners. But he was saying basically that in CPG, and he ran a massive beverage company that sold to a company that rhymes with Schmoka Rola, that just perhaps discontinued it, but he's starting a new thing. Anyway, he's coming on soon.
Who's that?
No guesses. But someone was asking him about marketing, and he was basically like, even at like $20 million in sales in beverage and in food CPG, the marketing role, that like that head marketing role has an average tenure of 18 months. And is generally associated with a big budget to come in and spend on out-of-home awareness. But even at that size, awareness is less important. Like if you don't have the ACV, or if you don't have the store count, for those who don't like acronyms, you know, you can make people aware, but if they can't get it quickly and easily. And one of the things that Courtney was always saying is like, I don't know how to attribute a lot of this stuff. Like as an in-store brand, it's very hard to know at the time that they're purchasing in that store. Yeah. Why did you buy us? Where did you come from? How did you hear about us? And that's the big black box that we've all been trying to figure out how to solve, which is what you're doing.
And to that, even let's say another one that rhymes with Nepsi. Right. Yeah. It's like they, like a couple of years ago, they launched some survey or some like internal, like white label, whatever, like white paper, where they just assumed that 1 in 4 people who saw a Nepsi ad converted in store. Right. That is an assumption from the biggest big food can't even tell you that answer. Right. And like the credit card companies, they can't tell you that answer because they have no idea. Like they only see that Tiffin spent $72 at Whole Foods buying two things, right? They don't get that understanding. But yeah, it's crazy. And hopefully we can make a shirt together where it's like, let's make shopper marketing sexy.
Yeah. That's amazing. I don't know who's going to buy it, but you know, we have a lot of things that like I fantasize about making an Expo West booth. like, everyone has heard me. I want to make a CPG musical. I think it would be amazing. No, I've actually, like, I really do think it would be really fun.
She's written a couple of songs.
I know the song, like the last song before the intermission, and then I know the chorus at the end. Like, I have the main character, but it's not me, FYI. I also would like to make a CPG board game, like move 3 steps forward. Oh, yay, you opened Kroger. Move 10 steps forward. Oh, no.
Your free company.
Discontinued, like reset, and you're not on it. Like, go back 130 spaces. But all of these things I think would be really fun to sell at Expo West, like just have a booth for the CD of the soundtrack or the board game, or now the new idea is just a single t-shirt that says, make shopper marketing sexy again, or I love shopper mark, like kiss me, I love shopper mar-. Like, we have to think of what the word's going to be, but that's, I think it's worth a $15,000 booth. I don't know.
I say we go for a corner booth, double a lot.
Yeah. We can just not have sauce that year and just do the t-shirts.
Forget about it. So we're not selling sauce anymore. We are dedicating.
What about the t-shirt? Yeah.
We're doing this. This is our new business venture.
Against humanity, food at the CPD.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot when I eventually sell this to Schmanormic. Okay, Tiffin, before we go, I think we got through everything. I feel like we got through everything, but is there anything I didn't ask about that you want to tell, you know, people who are listening to this, although I have no idea, maybe we'll make a QR code for that. But for the most part, you'd have to be working in an emerging brand unless, I don't know why you would find this interesting otherwise, but what do you want them to know? What do you want them to know that you learned either working at a brand or that you've learned working with a bunch of new brands?
Yeah.
What do you want us to know?
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing, and you don't, there's tons of service providers out there that are in a similar category to us, right? And I think what I want to shy people away from, please give up the paper coupons. Like, like there's a use for them upon different applications and different vendors, but I think they are truly a waste of money. Right. And that's why these investors will ask me, like, Tiffin, why don't you pre-qualify brands by only working with a certain size? Right. Of like, going after enterprise and stay there and do that. And to that, I'm like, not really. Right. Because everybody starts somewhere. But at the same time, it's like the earlier we can get brands moved over from traditional paper coupons as their number one sexy shopper marketing tool. Like, even if they don't use us, it's like, there's better alternatives, you know?
Sorry to interrupt. So what do you say to, like, to brands and field marketers and sales teams that love IRCs because the in-store buyers love it, because the store buyers love it. Even if the redemption rate is super low, I hear all the time where it's like, no, my buyer, they get excited when I send them, you know, 500 coupons. Like, what do you say to that?
What I say to that is give us a few more months, right? Give us a few more months, because to exactly your point, there's a comfort attached to coupons, right? People know it's going to work. People know it's going to have a certain functional.
They know it works.
Exactly. Right. Like, there's a perception of trust and element around coupons. And that's why all the buyers are like, oh, please run this coupon program or on our retail app or anything like that. And we're kind of the newcomers to town, right? Where it's like, we still see text messages come in, or it's like, can you just send us a coupon? I'm like, no. I'm like, no, we will not. It's like, we are literally like, so let me answer your question, right? What do you say is give us a few more months for us to gain a little bit more popularity in like the buyer community, right? So then they get to experience it in real life, right? Like, say your Whole Foods buyer who experiences the Kool-Aid pouch, and I'm sorry, that just literally stuck to my,
I'm for it.
Right? It's like, once they experience it, it's like, whoa, it's like, can you put this in all of our other stores? Because it was so much easier and cooler. And that's why brands are like, do you only do Venmo? And I'm like, no, that's just people want to leave with Venmo because it's the cool thing to do, right? You know? But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say, like, I get so much positive feedback in the field. Like, my field reps, I get emails from them that the store-level buyers, like, when they show them how it works, they really love it. And I've gotten, I think I even messaged you the other day, like, I've had store-level buyers be like, oh, I love that you send out reminders if they forget to redeem it. And then we had that discussion where it was like, wait, why are you sending out so many reminders? And I was like, send them out. People like them. So, I mean, I'm getting really great feedback in the field, but I think that I can see you having a lot of resistance from the old school part of the business, which is still the majority of the business.
Listen, it's like, we're all in this together. The brands, you know, those buyers and the people, the boots on the ground in grocery stores have never had it harder.
Yep.
They have seen a massive sea change. They've been literally frontline workers for the last 2 years. Their whole job was like making sure that people had like toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
Yep.
It's not getting easier with the way that prices are going. They're getting like basically the bleep kicked out of them all the time. And the last thing they want is some punky Gen whatever you are telling them that there's a better way to do it. So we have to just like we always do, you can't move a ship quickly. You got to just like nudge it a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And that's kind of what I think emerging brands are doing with major retailers. And that's why I started this podcast. And that is the end of the show. Last licks, anything you want to say, Court?
I just think, Tiffin, you're doing, I think it's such a cool technology, a really great platform. I'm really excited to see what you come up with and how your company evolves within the next 18 months. I think you know you have a bit of an uphill battle, but I also feel like you know that you're onto something really fucking cool.
You have a nugget.
I appreciate your energy.
Is just like unmatched. It's really wonderful working with you. And like, I could be having like a crappy day and I'm like messaging with Tiffin. I'm like, fuck yeah. Tiffin's like on this game.
All right. Well, Court, thank you for co-hosting this with me. It was really, really helpful having your perspective.
Thanks for having me.
Tiffin, obviously super fun having you on. We knew that it would be, but I think this is going to be really helpful for a lot of brands and, you know, keep on keeping on. Armin, as always, thank you so much for engineering today's show, blips and all. And everyone listening, thank you so much, as always, for listening, for telling people to listen. I'm glad this is helpful. It is not easy. So anything I can do to be helpful, I get a lot of DMs. I try to answer all of them. We all have to take care of each other in this industry because, I mean...
God bless you.
God bless you.
We're in it together. We're changing the face of food together.
Amen. And I'll be back next week with another episode of In the Sauce. In the Sauce is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.